Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Maybe you just weren't listening to the rest of the choir.
I'm sorry, what? Maybe I wasn't really listening, but you see, I don't speak for the sake of speaking. Well, sometimes I do, I guess.
Just reach over and shake her kombucha. That'll teach her.
The kombucha mushroom people sitting around all day?
What?
This is Free Talk Live.
Just going to move on.
We're a live call-in radio program where you can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind.
Have we given out the number? I feel like we didn't give out the number at all.
I've given it, like, okay. In fact, right before the break.
Are you listening to the rest of the choir?
No. What?
Hey, are you guys even listening to the rest of the choir?
What?
I just want to know.
What?
All right. The telephone number is
603-283-6160.
Very nice.
Glad someone's paying attention.
In the studio today, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Let's get this one out of the way. Who can it be now?
Libertarians, come out and play. Hello, neurotypicals.
He's making a reference to The Warriors.
That's a great movie.
And also, like,
can you dig it?
Also, Twisted Sister did a take on that. Their follow-up album. They did Twisted Sister.
Yeah, that's come out and play. I think that movie encompasses what happens when you have anarchy, isn't it? Or The Purge, right?
Does it?
No, have you even seen The Purge?
Jeez,
the Purge is a government program.
Yeah, the Purge is specifically government.
I understand.
It's specifically a government program, and because people weren't purging, the government created false flags by sending out government agents to purge to get people in the mood for purging. Like, it's a totally government program. It's the exact opposite of anarchy.
Relax, homie. I was just joking. Dang. I understand libertarianism. I'm just, you know, trying to poke and prod. I do. That's why I debunked Mises. But sounds like you're
so heard.
But it sounds like you didn't, though.
I didn't understand. Well,
do you know what the word debunk means?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Give us the definition.
Disprove or invalidate an argument. How about that? Okay.
How have you debunked Mises?
By laughing, cackling.
Oh, this is what I called about, but so you gotta let me get to it.
I don't have to let you do anything, sir.
Well, if you have integrity, if your show is really Free Talk Live of free.
Oh, you've gotten plenty of airtime, my friend. You don't get to produce the show. You're lucky I even let you.
Oh, you're highly censored, and I never get to what I want to talk about. But
everybody else does.
Because you're a terrible caller.
Super annoying.
So one thing is because I get interrupted so much. No one can give a lecture while they're being interrupted. But yeah,
you're not supposed to give a lecture.
It's not called
conversation.
It's not called Lecture Talk Live.
Would you be patient with me? I got Asperger's.
We've been way more than patient with you, sir.
But I wanted to call about contradiction. Because you guys make so many of them, and so does the Austrian school. Because you're building all. Oops.
Now when we.
I was queuing that up.
Please.
You want to hear a contradiction real quick?
Are you gonna talk again and contradict yourself?
No.
Oh.
It's you, Rich. I got a clip of you. Okay, ready? It's just a quick, funny one.
You can absolutely apply numerical value to it if that were my goal. That is not my goal, and it doesn't have to be my goal.
Oh my God.
I do not have to own property for the sheer benefit of profit.
Well, how is that a contradiction?
You don't think about anything but money? Of course I
know. I'm Richie Rich. That's all I think about.
Okay.
Right.
How do you explain that?
I really only think about money, and yet I am able to see the other point of view that some people don't apply value to.
Hang on. I got a question for Squidward here. Scooter,
no, but,
Scooter, did you just play back a portion of the show off of cassette? I thought I heard you click the play button on like a cassette boombox.
Yeah, I'm old, so I'm technophobic. And
how old are you?
Huh?
How old are you?
I'm in my 60s.
No.
I'm in my 60s.
No, you're not.
But I have other contradictions I want to talk about, so...
are you still considering that a contradiction, though?
I'm confused about how that was a contradiction.
Yeah, what was the?
I was half joking because he immediately, you know, he's putting the hypothetical in terms of himself, and he's talking about,
yeah,
I don't have to own land. I don't have to own. It's just a joke. I know.
I was using a hypothetical situation to debunk someone else's argument.
Yeah, but you put it in terms of yourself. So
who cares? It's an example.
When the next clip shows you.
Is this the equivalent of somebody taking somebody's, you know, a Twitter post out of context and then reposting it?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be
out of context. I was providing an example of how value can be listed without having a numeric value to it, and also saying that that's not how I live my life.
I'm just half joking. Okay.
Half
well, then,
joking.
So half joking. I understood that.
So that was zero funny.
What was the point?
Ask the other half where the contradiction is. You said, do you want to hear a contradiction?
I have real contradictions. I have real contradictions.
You're a walking contradiction.
No, maybe you're confined to a wheelchair.
I don't know. Maybe you're walking a rolling contradiction.
Logic person. I don't think ANCAPs have a grasp of logic. I heard you say logical fallacies like... I forgot, evidence of absence is not absence of evidence. All these stuff are contradictions because it is evidence of absence. But anyways, I have real contradictions keyed up. Ready?
Nope. I'm sure not. Let's go to, I believe this is Jet calling. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I'm jetting around.
Are you gallivanting?
Heard you guys talking about how... other people shouldn't be able to have anything to say about property, you know, what you own and how you use it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that prompts me to call in about my favorite topic, which is the grand delusion. The idea that pretty much everybody, most people in this world, believe that certain other humans who are not morally or intellectually superior somehow have the right or privilege or whatever to tell you what you can and cannot own, use.
Yeah, that person was Dave Ridley at the beginning of the show.
he was saying something like that?
I think Jet's referring to, this organization, this institute.
I know. But it was also Dave Ridley at the beginning of the show.
Okay, well, I wasn't tuned in then, so...
Okay. For those just tuning in, it was Dave Ridley at the beginning of the show.
Okay. I'll listen to that later. Every hour that you guys are on the air, you have this opportunity to mention this thing in this way. And I'm not sure, did he say this similarly, that this delusion gang are just other people who have no more right to do anything than you or I, that he was talking like that?
No, he was saying that. I should be prohibited from owning a thing because he deemed it unnecessary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we know that's false. It's like then anybody can decide that anybody should have or have not.
You would think someone with the credentials and liberty as Dave Ridley would understand that, but apparently it has to be learned again.
Well, on the one hand, you know, when you expand it out to the nuclear weapon thing, you know, it would be nice to be able to have a way to contain those people.
Why?
But then who and how and yeah.
Do they do anything to you to cause you to need to contain them? Is there sheer ownership of a piece of property like a threat to your life liberty?
Well, you even mentioned earlier, I think, that there's going to be someone who is irresponsible.
Yeah.
But, well,
that's the human condition, man. People drink and drive.
Enough away from these people.
People flag others with their firearms. People reach down for a penny on the seat of their car and swerve off the road. Right? People act irresponsibly all the time, and we don't deprive them of life, liberty, and property until they harm someone else.
Oh, yes. And I'm totally on board, except I guess this is the one topic that brings us to the question, how can someone have possession of something which could be devastating to millions of people all at one time?
Purchase it on the black market. I don't care
right,
how.
And I'm sure they exist right now, as a matter of fact. Plenty of them. But that seems to be the one topic, the one thing. Every other thing, even if it's a missile or a tank or whatever, every other thing seems to be able to contain. But my point is, in all events, who would it be that has the moral or intellectual superiority to be able to say whether you can or you can't?
Well, according to Dave Ridley, it's Dave Ridley.
Oh.
The short answer is nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why I like to call in and just say, hey, if you wouldn't mind, you know, once every hour, just mention that these are just other people. They have no more right than you or I to tell us to do anything, what we can have, what we can do. And it just bugs me when I see people falling into this thing. Who should we vote for? Who should we elect to be able to tell us what we can do? And I'm going, nobody.
It bugs me more when I hear it from somebody with liberty credentials.
Well,
I expect that from normies and muggles.
Maybe he was just bringing up the topic. I'll have to listen to it as far as a topic of discussion versus something where he really felt.
I don't know. If he was only doing it as a topic of discussion, he was very well convicted.
Okay. Well, so my question to you guys is, do you guys feel threatened there on the air as far as being able to say things like, these are just other people, why do we pay attention to them, they have no more right? I mean, would you be afraid to say those things specifically because of repercussions?
No,
I mean, we say stuff like that all the time. But I think it's kind of overkill to say it once every hour.
And this is also the Sunday show. We try to lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the entire gist of this show is exactly that point. Maybe we don't specifically spell it out that, like, yes, government people, bureaucrats, whatever, they're all people like you and me, but that is the gist of this show.
Villains, tyrants, despots, parasites, thugs, mafia, gangs,
thieves.
We have your alternative words, but here's the thing, Jet. Much like Forkfest, where no one is in charge, and being a live call-in program where you can call in and talk about anything you want to, you're a longtime caller, and you like to talk about this specific topic, and that's great. If we start doing it, then you're not going to call us anymore. We want you to call.
No, I would love it.
This is your shtick, and so you should call and talk about this as frequently as you want to.
Well, it has to be germane to the to the conversation.
My point is, you know, Nikki just said that you talk about it all the time, but actually, I listen all the time and I never hear it. And I never hear what
because
I'm
because we don't use the same exact language as you're using, but it is a big common theme throughout the show.
Yes.
And there is so much more. I know this is like your favorite topic, but there's so much more to freedom and liberty. Like, there are so many things to talk about. If we were to talk about that every single show, one, it would kind of get boring.
No, not talk
two,
about it.
Or yes, say the phrase that you want us to say is kind of what you're saying. But there's so much more to talk about. Like, there is a lot of content to cover.
I don't know how it would have been germane when we were talking about the bet between me and Ricky from the Commonwealth. Right, like that had nothing to do with government goons or despots or whatever. That was just a bet on where we foresee things going in the future.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you why I keep harping on this. And that is because I know that freedom and liberty, you know, the concept begins in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I know also that most people don't understand that these are just other people who have no more right than you or I. Most people, as I mentioned, yeah, understand that they somehow magically do have a right. And they...
well, it's not magic, man. It's the guns.
The right? Delusion, the grand delusion.
Like so that dude in Thailand, if he was on equal footing with armaments as the king of the country, right, that could have gone differently. But the king
exactly
has people
point.
Willing to, like, commit violence on his behalf against this otherwise peaceful individual.
My point is people will not get to that point of equal footing until they understand that,
yeah,
oh, wait a minute, this guy is just another human. His blood runs red, his poop stinks. You know, he's pretty obviously, being a politician, they're not all that smart.
Yeah.
But until the masses get to that point, and that's what happened at the beginning of this country, was they said, you know what, this guy might be a king, but he has no sense of what's going on here, and we don't want to do that anymore. We don't care. He's just another person to us, so we reject him.
Yeah.
That's my
point. Well, they rejected him, and the king sent soldiers to quash a rebellion, and they fought them off. And I think that's where the current generation is not going to overstep that line at this point.
Well, that's my only point, the idea that it starts in the mind, and if we can change people's minds to be in agreement with the fact that these people, just other people, are yeah, not morally superior, they're not intellectually superior, they yeah, have no more right than any of the rest of us.
Yeah, you can change their mind, but to act accordingly is going to put them up in opposition with the king's soldiers.
Well, that's why I said, you guys feel afraid to be able to say those specific words, that these are just other people. Why do we pay attention to them? You know,
we pay attention because they're pointing guns. And you ought to know when guns are being pointed at you. We're not afraid to say it.
No.
And part of that comes with, you know, not afraid to die, not afraid to be arrested, not afraid to go to jail.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it does take a certain amount of courage to sit in one of these chairs and talk about the topics that we talk about.
Yeah.
It also takes a pretty big risk of making ourselves targets, as evidenced by the Crypto 6 raids, plural.
Now, understand me, I'm not criticizing
sure,
you. I'm just saying that
yeah,
somehow that's the bottom, underlying, the foundational message that is the spark point, if you will, of liberty.
Yeah.
You know,
we agree with you. I just don't think you're going to get the masses on board with what's necessary to take the secondary step once their mind is changed.
Yeah, the changing of the mind, like, there is no, as near as I can tell, and since I moved here in 2019, I've been surrounded by a number of people who have woken up, right? Their mind has expanded, or something has clicked, an epiphany, if you will, they've had. And I can't find a rhyme or a reason. I can't find even a common thread between myself or any two of these people. Like, if I knew what made people wake up to the reality of the situation, which is, as you described, Jet...
Usually it's personal first-hand experience.
Well, okay. But, like, as you described it, like, getting people to wake up to the idea that these are just people. They all sleep somewhere, right? They have no more rights than any other human on planet Earth. Getting them to that point, I wish I knew how. Because you're right, that is the first step. So because I can't find that thing or any commonality that, like, you know, even if we could get, you know, I don't know, a small 2% of the population to wake up, that would be a huge win.
It's also going to end up like Cypher in the Matrix. You're going to wake them up. They're going to realize that they're still powerless to do much about it.
Why, oh,
and
why
just be resentful.
Didn't
that
I choose the blue pill?
Right.
Right, yeah. So I've decided yeah, that instead of attempting to wake more people up, I am just going to serve via this show as a bit of a lighthouse, right, if you will, right? In a sea of crap, right? We're the lighthouse going, hey, if you love freedom and you have woken up already, there's a bunch of people over here trying to do a thing.
Yep.
Well, what I've done is I've taken it out of, I've put it into practice. I've taken it out of my mind as just a concept. And when I deal with these other people, no matter what their station, title, costume, whatever, I just talk to them as another person that I'm meeting on the street. Now, many of them might not.
What
like
do you
that.
Do when a cop pulls up behind you and flashes his lights? Do you go on about your life as a free man living on the land? Could you acquiesce to the violence that's in your mirror?
What I do is he must have stopped me because he needed my help. So I ask him, how may I help you?
Ah. Go on.
And I always ask them questions rather than answer their questions.
Okay.
So,
and he goes, now you owe me this much money.
Well, of course, I never speed and I never run through stops.
Kind of besides the point.
I'm just running.
You know?
I mean, if you never approach the fence, you're never going to get shocked.
Here's how this would go if it were me applying Jet's technique, right? Cop pulls me over, and he comes over, I'm like, how can I help you? And he goes, do you know how fast you were going? And so I want to ask a question here instead of answer his question. And so I would go, do you know how fast you were going? Then it becomes combative.
Yeah.
But if you were truly free, you would not even feel obligated to stop.
Right.
And when he rammed your car and tried to push you off the road, you would feel compelled to defend yourself against that aggression.
Right.
I know.
But no one will do that.
Well, few will do that. Those that are.
The few that do it don't do it for those reasons.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just love to know, be there, you know, like in 1775 when, like, was it Patrick Henry that came up with this, is life so dear, peace so sweet, to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God, I know not what course others will take, but for me, give me liberty or give me death. I would love to know.
Yeah.
You know,
no, people are
going to
watch the Super Bowl on 100-inch TV.
Well, that's true.
That's where we're at.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Jet, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate you.
Goodbye.
That was the weirdest Jet call, I think.
Why?
It sounded the same as it always does.
Okay. Well, it was different, I think. Than, like, you know, he's on points, right? He has a.
It's
a bit
step
of a
two, man.
Yeah.
You can get people to step one. Yeah, I don't like paying my taxes.
603-283-6160 still to come. The number two story. Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. President Biden says the southern border hasn't been secure in 10 years. Biden making the claim Friday while meeting with a group of mayors at the White House, and he was asked about security at the U.S.-Mexico border. Biden says that the United States needs significant policy changes in order to control the border. This as National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd claims cartels, not America, control the border on Fox News.
Look at the amount of drugs that are on our streets today. That clearly shows that the border is not secure. And then look at how the cartels operate. They flood our resources, pull our agents out of the field, create gaps in our coverage, and that's when they cross their higher value products.
The United States is continuing to push Israel and Hamas to agree on a phased plan to end the war, which starts with freeing hostages, but the two sides remain far apart regarding those discussions. This is USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
A little better.
All right.
Thanks for the effort. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number. We had two callers, but now we only have one on hold. We'll get to them in just a second. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on with the show, we still have to get to the number two story. But I want to say thank you to Justin O'Donnell. Justin O'Donnell is a silver-level amplifier. What does that mean? What does it mean to be an amplifier? Well, we have a program called the AMPS program, which stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. You can find out all about it over at amps.freetalklive.com. Essentially, Justin O'Donnell gives us $5 a month because he enjoys the content, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, and the perspective of peace, liberty, freedom, and prosperity that we bring. And he wants to help us get this radio program onto more radio stations. Currently, we're on around 200 radio stations. We could be on 250, 300, 350 radio stations. Not out of the question. It's all possible, but we could use your help doing it. So if you do enjoy the program, please visit amps.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming an amplifier. There are some perks that you get. It's a Patreon-type setup. So there's little benefits, that kind of thing. But that's not why you should amp. You should amp because you love liberty and you want to spread the message. Amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Justin O'Donnell. We appreciate you.
Best use of your liberty dollar.
As I believe Mark Edge coined the phrase, right? I believe it's the best use of your Liberty dollar.
Whoever said first, they're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please? You're live on the radio.
This is the Tom Budsman.
Hey, Tom.
Tom Budsman.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I was letting you guys know. I hear you guys quote the Faces of Death movie quite often. You guys are aware that the whole movie's a complete fake, right? Even the monkey scene and all that is completely manufactured, right?
I only remember bringing it up one time recently, so...
Oh, yeah, well, I'm a long-time listener. I've probably heard it, you know, a few times over the years.
Okay, all right.
It always meant to listen.
Well, then it's well-produced snuff.
Oh, it was great. It even had me fooled as a youngster. I just found out later on.
All right. And so was there more about Faces of Death that you wanted to talk about? Or?
Oh, I guess that whole monkey scene was done with like some kind of fruit or something, and they dived in. But yeah, it traumatized me pretty bad.
Well, go watch Cannibal Holocaust then, because they actually killed the animals.
Uh-oh, I'll probably have to pass on
this,
that one.
This was prior to the No Animals Were Hurt, and I'm pretty sure it was source
for that. Gosh.
So like they they killed some animals on camera.
So there was no disclaimer.
Nope.
That, like, you know, at the end of some movies, they're like, no animals were harmed.
There was a disclaimer, but it was actually the opposite.
Animals were completely harmed while making this. Okay.
It was before those laws went into effect, and I'm pretty sure that this particular movie had an impact on the creation of those laws.
I'm not a fan of laws as just a general thing, but that's probably a good one if we are to have them.
I totally agree, Nikki. It's probably one of the only ones that will probably support.
Vegan?
Like, is it wrong to harm animals?
Well, it depends. I mean,
are you raising chickens for your
draw
food?
The line?
And you're going to chop their heads off so you can put them on the barbecue? That seems all right to
me. Even an animal on its way to the slaughterhouse should be treated with dignity, you know?
I enjoy like when
if it makes the meat more tender.
Yeah, when I buy my food from like a local farm here in New Hampshire or something like that, I want to be assured that they are humanely raised and that they are grass fed and not grain fed. I don't want them eating high fructose corn syrup. I don't want them eating Monsanto crap,
plastic,
any of that kind of stuff, filler. You know, I want
that's a preference, though.
It is a preference.
Okay.
But
not a mandate,
right? But I'm not willing to say that should be the law.
Okay.
Right. I'm not willing to point the guns of government at other people and go, conform to my preference.
Absolutely. But if I've seen somebody torturing a kitten, I might go ahead and shoot them.
I feel the same way about puppies.
Whose kitten is it? Are we allowed to own animals?
I'm just speaking with emotion, maybe not law there, you know.
It's a good way to get punched in the face for attacking me for beating my kitten.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I hear
stay
you.
Stay in your lane.
Mind your business. I leave it to you, Richie Rich, to even bring that up.
Richie Rich is special.
Pulling that card.
It's a property rights issue. If it's not yours, and you're trying to prevent me from doing something with mine, we have an issue.
Well, logically, you're probably on to something. That's just where my emotion might take over my logic.
No, I get it. This is why people get emotionally punched in the face.
I hear you, man. At least make sure it's on your property, then.
There you go.
Anything else tonight, Tom?
No, guys. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call tonight. We appreciate you.
I'll hear an argument for you can't own animals.
Well, it's right, so like, right. I mean, we could talk about that.
Tough,
like,
it's tough.
Like, I mean, I love dogs as pets.
Sure.
I do not love dogs as barbecue.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about dog fighting?
That's pretty lame, yeah.
No, I'm not really a fan.
Not a fan, but would you stop it? Would you create a law?
No.
Would you physically stop people who are who have dogs that are fighting dogs from?
I might try to physically stop them. I don't know if I'd use like the threats of government.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd be on their property. I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, like
you got to go to their property to to stop them from doing what they will with their other property.
I'll publicly shame them. I think people, we were talking about this a few weeks ago on a Wednesday show about how we should bring back, like, shunning people, right?
Sure.
So it's like, okay, we have this community, we, you know, uphold these standards of,
happens
like,
on social media all the time.
Dignity and, you know, like, rightness, right, ethics, stuff like that. I don't agree with torturing animals, so right. If you're doing that, I'm not going to call the cops on you, but I'll probably tell everyone that you're doing it, and most people will probably disagree with you and agree with me.
Probably
and
not. Dog fighting is a cultural issue.
Shun
so
you from
fighting.
The, not, well, in America, I'm assuming most people in New Hampshire, that's where I am,
maybe.
So I guess that's
sure.
relevant
yeah.
to my life, but.
I don't know of any dog fights in New Hampshire, that's fair.
Yeah.
What about chicken fights?
Not New Hampshire.
Because all those people were shunned from New Hampshire, and they had
maybe.
To go somewhere else.
Yeah, down south.
Yeah.
Like,
would you go to a bullfight?
No.
The only like famous case of like dog fighting that I can remember is like the Michael Vick thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
A former NFL
yeah.
player, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And like I understand he was in trouble, you know, with the law, so to speak, over that. But I think the reason he did not see as much playing time later in his career was because of the shunning as a result of.
Well,
him being involved in this dogfighting.
I would suggest that the time away impacted his athleticism as he grew older.
Sure. Yes, there's that.
Yeah.
But I think that there was shunning.
Sure.
By a large audience because he was already famous, right?
Yeah.
There were people who were like burning his jerseys. They were fans of his, and like they're like, I'm not a fan of yours anymore.
That's,
and, you know, making a public display of it.
But in his community,
know.
He grew up with it. It was just a thing,
right?
And he continued on with that tradition.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go to this caller. I believe this is it Andrew in Tennessee?
Ian.
Hey, man.
That's correct.
You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I just want to say, like, well, Richie Rich has said that you have to be able to defend your property. So if I don't like you dogfighting on your property, then if I can come and successfully remove those dogs from you and end your life, then technically I own your dogs and your property.
Yeah, you could.
Because you want to, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is what would keep you from, with your logic, being able to do something like that, because there's probably going to be more people willing to kill you over it and less people defending over
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Again, dog fighting is a cultural issue. So is cockfighting. If you go onto their property and try to take their dog fighting dog, right, you are going to be met with resistance.
Right.
And so now your life is on the line as well. Are you willing to risk your life for that of a dog or two?
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, and I agree with that. But like I say, if you're doing something that's that the majority consider unethical, then you have to be willing to face the majority of people that are willing to come in and stop you for it.
Yeah.
And as far as the nuclear weapon, if you're able to test the weapon, then you are causing harm to your neighbor, because that you cannot prove that whatever kind of radiation that it causes and fallout, you can't prove that that's not going to harm your neighbor. And
well, the burden would not be on me. If that would be a tort, the burden would be on them to prove damages.
Well, but what I'm saying is, how would you even test your weapon to know if it's even successful without being able to test
it? I don't know. How did the government test it? They tested it prior to deploying it.
But the only reason we have nuclear weapons is because they stole from a bunch of people to be able to test them in the first place.
I don't care how they got it. They did safe, successful tests.
Well,
I don't think
we don't know that the tests were safe.
I don't think that Richie Rich could by himself go and make a nuclear weapon and use ethical means to be able to create that weapon without causing harm to somebody.
Okay. And so at the point that harm is caused, you could claim a tort. But until that point, leave me alone.
Well, can you actually even make a nuclear weapon?
Me personally, no. Not
right,
at all.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but you, somebody can. They're creating them. The technology exists.
But what I'm saying is I don't think one could successfully make a weapon without causing harm to somebody else, is what I'm saying.
Why not?
Like, I feel like that you still are, I feel like you're going to have to at some point go against the non-aggression principle to
acquire the materials,
weapon in the first place.
Why?
What's that?
Why would I have to violate the non-aggression principle to justly acquire the materials required to build a nuclear weapon?
Number one, you would have to have so many people that are on your side that would say, oh, yes, we think that this is a good idea to make this weapon.
They already exist. Those weapons are in storage.
They're in production.
Well,
yeah.
Assuming they're not. Because
why would we assume they're not?
The reason they're stored in the first place is because they had to use the non, they had to violate the non-aggression principle to build those weapons in the first place.
Only because they're governments. But anything a government can do, the market can also do, and likely better and cheaper.
Okay, well, assuming that the government didn't steal from people to be able to build those weapons, how would you do it?
The technology exists. All we're talking about is price.
And yeah, I mean, like, I mean, there's all sorts of tech now. Like, if you didn't know how to acquire a part, you could 3D print it.
Right. The only thing stopping, like, individuals from owning nuclear weapons is cost and the government prohibiting you from acquiring the materials.
Right.
If you eliminate the government, those materials will be freely available in the market.
Do you know that you could successfully create a nuclear weapon without violating the non-aggression principle?
I am confident that all the materials can be acquired justly.
I mean, like, that's like asking, do you think a nuclear power plant can be built without violating the non-aggression principle? Yes. Of course it can. It's technology. It's just somebody building a thing to...
Well, I'm for nuclear energy. I was just trying to find a way to, you know, to put it into perspective when it comes to non-aggression, because I mean there was a lot of violations of non-aggression to build those weapons in the first place. Do we acknowledge
that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the existence of government is a violation of the non-aggression principle. Yeah. The whole institution is a violation. Right. So yeah.
But the technology exists, right? The instructions exist, and everything else is just acquiring materials and following the instructions. Simplistically.
Well, but you have to have I don't think one man has enough resources to acquire those things.
That's irrelevant.
So you have to have several.
Andrew, have you ever heard of a suitcase nuke?
I've heard of a lot of things.
The fact that an individual can't currently afford it is irrelevant.
Right.
Because at some point they might be able to, or someone, you know, like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or Bill Gates, right, has the resources to acquire the materials and can afford to pay the people to put it together.
So is that your goal, is to acquire a nuke so you can protect your dogfighting ring?
No, but if that's what it took.
If it comes down to it.
If it comes down to it.
This is only going to happen if he wins the dash bet with Ricky from the company.
Really?
The
stakes are that high.
With 15 dash. With 15 dash in 2026, the sky's the limit.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to figure out where we're going with this.
It's impossible to build a nuclear weapon without violating the non-aggression principle, and I would suggest otherwise.
Well, because, you know, at one point, Volkswagen built cars that if you ran into the back of them, they were notorious for, you know.
I thought that was Ford and the Pinto.
Oh, was it a Pinto? Was that what it was?
Whatever.
Okay.
Either way.
Volkswagen.
But okay, they also did an economic calculation. Right, they said this is going to hurt this much people, and this is how much we're going to have to pay out in damages. Or
they did it on purpose.
Yeah, and then they went.
I've never heard of this.
Oh man, look it up.
Okay.
They did an economic calculation. They said like this many people are going to get hurt. We're going to have to pay out this much liability, or it's going to cost us this much more to recall the car and change the part. And it was cheaper to pay out the liability.
Right. So I just looked up suitcase nukes. And they
as
are,
if we weren't rated enough.
Yeah,
now this is in the search history.
Yeah, come on, Captain.
They do exist, and in fact, the smallest nuclear bomb built by the U.S. is called the W-54 fission bomb, and it was developed and deployed as early as 1961. I'm trying to look at here. It's got a yield of 0.1 kilotons. And a maximum range of 2.49 miles. It is approximately the size of a large suitcase.
Is that a?
How many acres is 2.9 miles? I could own that much property.
Miles. That's a pretty big.
I think it's radius.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
So I could own 2.9 miles. Like there are people out there with larger than 2.9 miles of property. Like any rancher.
Well, right? I guess where my dilemma is now is that we have things that have been acquired through theft that we wouldn't necessarily have because people wouldn't really have the resources to be able to do it. The only reason they were able to do it in the first place is because they were able to, you know, they were able to steal.
I was mentioning this to Captain during the break. I know it's a dramatic representation, but if you haven't seen the movie Oppenheimer, watch the movie Oppenheimer. Because one of the principles like brought up in the movie, and again, I don't care if it's truth or not, was the technology pre-existed the run-up to building the bomb. Right? It was, now we know this is possible, someone is going to do a thing, and if we want them to not do the thing to us, the United States, right, we have to ramp up our resources and our research to get there first. Right? Like, the technology is out there. You can no longer stop it from existing. All you can do is prevent others from using it on you the best you can. And if that means, like, having a suitcase nuke of your own, then you ought to be able to own one.
Well, I'm not against nuclear anything. I just wish we could, you know, use it for cars or something instead of
For peaceful means instead of destructive
means. That's fine, but just know that with the same technology, someone else is going to build a bomb. And you don't want the warlord to come knocking on your door with a suitcase nuke, saying like, "This property is mine now." You're going to have to defend your property against him.
Andrew, thank you so much for the call, man. We appreciate you listening and calling. Feel free to call again. I just want to get to
the number two story.
Okay. Because we've been teasing it all night. I'd hate to end the show without talking about it a little bit. This from the New York Post. New York City neighborhood turned into giant toilet as migrants litter park with poop, leave cups of urine on doorsteps.
It's always the migrants. Just close the borders.
Migrants outside of an East Village intake center have been crappy neighbors.
Oh,
yeah, that's really funny. Since November, thousands of adult migrants have waited outside the former St. Bridget's School on East 7th Street and overflown into Tompkins Square Park to score a bed in the city's shelter system after their 30-day and 60-day stay limits expired. But the S hit the fan and the sidewalks and the streets last week when the city parks department yanked a trio of porta potties from the park.
Oh, so the government's responsible for this?
Well, in many ways.
Okay.
The loos had become so filthy that the workers gave up on maintaining them, according to locals, instead of like somebody being like, "Hey, we need to maintain these more frequently."
Yeah,
because like, we're just gonna stop
because the volume has increased. Right?
Yeah, how about 10 porta potties instead of 3?
Right.
Like, let's start there.
There was a cup of what I thought was somebody's discarded hot chocolate,
so I took a sip.
That turned out to be not hot chocolate, said street cleaner John Cashvan. Cashvan, that's a weird last name.
I bet it belonged to two girls.
I'm thinking of Cash Cab.
Oh, okay.
Right? The game show. Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a cup of poop in Captain's, like, stuck on this guy's last name.
Sorry. Yeah. On warmer days, it can smell like a toilet over here and not a well-kept toilet. In the past week, locals and volunteers said they've spotted cups filled with urine around the park's entrance near the former school, along with human-sized poop in tree beds.
Lemonade in the summer, hot chocolate in the winter.
And between parked cars. What was the old, like milk, lemonade, round the corner, fudges made.
Okay, yeah, yep, nope.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm not 12 anymore, I'm 6 now. Got my juvenile sense of humor in half, apparently. Most of them want to pee in plastic cups rather than the ground, and they leave them on people's doorsteps, said longtime resident Garrett Rosso, 64, who said he spotted a dozen cups with urine.
You gotta set it on fire before you, and then ring the doorbell if you're gonna be leaving it on doorsteps.
Oh, man.
Or do it to politicians.
Oh, even better. Yeah. We did a story
about...
It's
like the City Hall guy, yeah.
Yeah, he
was sick of people pooping in front of his establishment.
So he picked it all up and left it on the steps of the local government.
Well played, sir.
Yeah.
One migrant had no problem taking an alfresco whiz on a tree Wednesday afternoon.
I mean, if you don't have a place to go, right, this is nature in action.
Yeah. The Post surveyed the stomach-churning scene. Really? That's stomach-churning? You've never seen a dude be on a tree? Like, that's stomach-churning? That's... I mean, how wimpy do you have to be to...
Yeah, it's pretty mild.
New York liberal, that's what you have to be.
The southeastern part of the park was also littered with spilled food and plastic containers. Oh, so it's New York. I've cut this part of the park out of my daily walk because of the filth, said neighbor Michael Bartley, age 73. There's several thousand people coming to this end of the park with no place to use the bathroom. And they do have a picture of a very... graffiti-filled, less-than-clean, big-size porta-potty, right? You know how there's, like, the little ones, and there's, like, the ones that a wheelchair will fit in? That's what they have for the picture. If they're going to bring them here, the city should have some sanitation people here, he added. Cops are here, big effing deal. If you're going to have government welfare, and then people come to take advantage of it, and you don't have enough of it, the onus is upon you, the provider, to make sure that there is more of that.
Be careful, they're going to start taxing the citizens again.
I know. Okay. I know where it all goes. But I'm just saying. We're out of time. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you to all of our callers and our listeners, of course. This has been Free Talk Live. If you missed any part of the program, find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.